You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 28th of May 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week, and Friday is here, the weekend is tomorrow, and the weekend starts here, because you know who we have with us today. We have Grandpa Dan with us today, all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. You know, it's just another close of another week in clown world, you know, and the ride just never ends. And once again, we're ready to saddle up and take the ride again this week, aren't we?
We certainly are. We have another clown world article for today, and it concerns cereal, breakfast cereal, the stuff you eat in the mornings. Kellogg's Company has teamed up with advocacy group GLAAD, GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, to push a limited edition LGBTQ-themed cereal called Together with Pride, which hit shelves across the country last week ahead of Pride Month. So what do we have here? We have Gay Pride cereal. I'm surprised they didn't actually call it Porn Flakes. I mean, this is quite clearly aimed at children. It's quite clearly going to be here for the rest of the year. And what are they saying here? That people should be proud of the fact that they engage in anal sex? Is that really what they are saying here? Do we really want to be encouraging children to think that? I mean, it gets worse as we actually go along here, but what do you make of this then, Grandpa? Homosexual cornflakes, is that the sort of thing you want to be eating in the morning when you get up with your coffee?
No, I don't want to be gagging on gay flakes. Well, this whole alphabet themes of this whole alphabet LGB, whatever it is, I don't know how, at some point in time, I guess every letter of the alphabet is going to be compromised. But the whole identity of it is centralized around what kind of sex you're having, you know, which is something I just find peculiar, because, you know, normal heterosexual people don't go around, you know, just, you know, I identify as what kind of sex I have sex with women. You know, I mean, they just, you know, your identity is, oh, well, what kind of work you do, or perhaps your religion or your religious beliefs or your family or whatever. Only in this alphabet mania is your entire identity centered around what sort of sex you're having. Oh, I'm an LGBTQ, whatever the hell type of person. So your identity is directly tied to what sort of sex you're having. Now you take a story like this. This is children's cereal. It's marketed specifically towards children. So that means they're specifically marketing sexual stuff to prepubescent children. Now, I know we've been saying for some time that, you know, this slippery slope thing that everybody said we were crazy to be talking about is spiraling straight towards pedophilia. But I mean, this is exactly what it is. If you're going to sit there and tell kids, oh, look here, I got a rainbow box, it's about unicorns, it's about gay anal. It's like, well, mommy, what's gay anal? Well, you know, I mean, at some point in time, if a little kid asks, what's all of this about? There's no way to explain what it's about without, you know, introducing them to all of this sex stuff. It's really very disturbing, Sven. Very very utterly disgusting. I you know, it's by its very nature, you're going to introduce little kids to this sexual degeneracy.
It is quite clearly promoting homosexuality to children. I mean, it would be completely illegal in Russia. I mean, that is the law that they brought in Russia, that you cannot promote the homosexual lifestyle to children. And you would think, well, that's quite sensible, really. I mean, why would you really want to be introducing children to that sort of thing? It's something that you're not supposed to do until you're over the age of 16 or over the age of 18. And yet here they are promoting it to children. And also you've got this idea of, do you really want to be thinking about that when you're eating your breakfast? Do you really want to be thinking about homosexuals and what they do? Because this is what it is designed to do, is to just force homosexuality into everything. They want you to think of homosexuals wherever you are, even when you're eating your breakfast. The limited edition cereal box features several of Kellogg's famous cartoon characters, including Tony the Tiger, Toucan Sam, and Snap, Crackle, and Pop. In the bottom left-hand corner, a frosted mini wheat can be seen holding a rainbow flag with a triangle on it. Now, there's two things here I want to pick up on. You've got Snap, Crackle, and Pop, and I've always thought of them in quite an innocent way, but now that they're on a homosexual cereal box, you're thinking, what is this? Is it a threesome? Is that what they've got going on there? Is some kind of orgy between Snap, Crackle, and Pop? And then you've got this rainbow flag with a triangle on it. And doesn't the triangle symbolize something? Is it? It's a hazard warning, isn't it? I seem to remember back in the 80s, there was a series on Channel 4 over here in Britain, and it was called the Red Triangle series. And it had a triangle on it because it was adult content and it was shown late at night. So I think the fact that they've put this triangle on it, which is, you know, it basically it says that there's a hazard there. There's something adult there for adults, and that's there with this rainbow flag. I mean, it is quite clearly aimed at sexualizing children, I think. What do you make of these cartoon characters that they've put on the box, Grandpa?
Well, if you look up the WikiLeaks on the FBI pedophilia assemblage, guess what you're going to find there? Triangle, which means boy lover. See, it all just kind of comes together. You don't have to be a QAnon person to find this stuff. It's right there. It's in your face. They've got a cornflake with a triangle on. Why is there a triangle on the rainbow flag? Oh, well, it's just pure coincidence that the triangle is also a symbol, you know, to signal homosexual pedophilia. It's just, but, you know, hey, don't read too much into it. This is about inclusion and diversity. I really like that you brought up the Russian law, because the Russian law was specifically to not allow stuff like this. Of course, in the West, we were told, oh, no, these Russians want to go around and kick in the doors of grown adults and catch them doing homosexual stuff, which, of course, wasn't the case. It was to prevent things like this. And when people such as us said that, oh, this is what the law is to prevent. Oh, that's nonsense. Who would do that? Fast forward, you know, through ancient history, as in a couple of years, and here we are. We've got homosexual cereal being marketed, you know, homosexual message being marketed on cereal to prepubescent children with a triangle on the homosexual flag, which happens to also be a symbol for homosexual pedophilia. But you're just a conspiracy theorist nut if you see these things. I don't know. It's just at some point in time, I guess people, are we just at the point now where people have just shut it off? It's just too much. I wonder that. Are we at the point where so just inundated with this messaging that now it doesn't even matter? It doesn't even matter how in your face it is, that just people will just, they don't want to see it. They've got their ears covered up, their eyes covered up. You know, you don't have to apply any real thinking. It's just right here in your face. And yet people are just like, you know, okay, how many people mindlessly go to the grocery store and pick up the queer cereal and say, oh, well, you know, this is great. My kids can eat their cornflakes while thinking about Tony the Tiger doing double anal or something. I don't know. You know, we follow this sort of stuff. We talk about this sort of stuff. We do these shows. And even for me, sometimes it's just too much. It's just breathtaking how in your face it all is.
I knew there was something sinister about that triangle. I wasn't aware it was actually a symbol for pedophilia. Perhaps it's a symbol of the NAMBLA. Was that the North American Man Boy Love Association? I used to think that was a joke. I never had any inkling that it was actually a real association, that there were actual pedophiles advocating for pedophile rights in America in the 70s. And fast forward to today, and it's now on breakfast cereal, coming into your kitchen sometime soon. The side of the cereal box lists the pronouns he, him, she, her, and they, them, as well as a blank section that encourages customers to add your own. So what are they doing here? Well, they're confusing children. They're encouraging children to associate with being a different gender to what they are. They're trying to confuse the child's gender. We know that we have problems with hormone disruptors in the environment. We know that we have problems with gender dysphoria and with people not identifying with the gender that they are born as. And instead of helping these people, instead of helping them to identify with the gender they are, we are encouraging them to be gender dysphoric, basically. We're encouraging them to actually be confused about this. I mean, that's what this is going to do here. You're going to have children then asking, well, what does it mean? What does it mean to have these pronouns? And then the parents are going to be having to say to them, well, there are some people around that think that they are born into the wrong body. And because they actually look like a boy, they have to tell everybody that actually they're a girl and they need to be referred to by these different pronouns. I mean, this is something that's been going on at university level for some years, this pronoun thing and this promotion of transgenderism. But now it's going right down to toddlers and youngsters that are only just starting to learn to read. Because when you're a kid, I mean, you always read the cereal box, don't you, when you're eating your cereal? And they're now pushing transgenderism at the children while they're eating. And I bet some mothers won't realize this, and they'll just pick up the cereal box and they'll just think it's the same as anything else. And what they're actually doing is they're bringing in homosexual propaganda into their home. They're bringing in transgender propaganda into their home. I mean, I just wonder if we're going to start seeing this on lots of other items that people eat. I mean, it's just really scandalous what's going on here. What do you make of the pronoun section on the box, Grandpa?
Well, it's my belief. I don't believe gender dysphoria exists in prepubescent children. I mean, you know, we used to call like a girl who acted like a little, you know, a little girl acted like a little boy. That was a tomboy, you know, and little boys, they would see their moms and, you know, put on her shoes and traipse around the house. Nobody said, oh, he's transgender. He's really a girl. You know, setting aside the nonsensical notion that, you know, somehow the wrong spirit got put into the wrong body and it didn't match. That never seems to get explained to us. But I don't believe gender dysphoria exists in prepubescent children. This is just kids, you know, experimenting with their roles in life because they don't understand these things. You know, a little girl likes to climb trees and play with Tonka trucks. She's just a tomboy. Now you get into, you know, when children go through puberty, when young people go through puberty, you know, and they get all these hormones rushing through their bodies, then they can sometimes maybe suffer from this. And a lot of them will actually grow out of it. And for some people, yes, it does linger on and carry over into adulthood. And then you have this actual this actual gender confusion thing, and that becomes something that they have to deal with. But acting like this exists in prepubescent children, I think, is absolutely nonsensical. But now you have this flood of quote unquote experts, and we're constantly told that we have to believe the experts no matter what. You know, your little girl is no longer a tomboy; she's transgender. She's somehow mystically a little boy inside a little girl, and then they reinforce that. They take these little kids and say, "Oh, it's Faye; she'll grow out of it. You know, she just likes playing with her brothers and roughhousing around." I mean, again, you know, little kids are not sexualized. You know, their bodies are basically the same, except obviously, you know, if they're technically a girl or a boy. But you can have, like, say, 2 7-year-olds, a boy and a girl, and they can roughhouse around, and the little girl might overpower the little boy because the hormones haven't been introduced yet. You see, I mean, you go into high school and, you know, a girl's not going to wrestle around with a boy because she's going to get overpowered very quickly because the hormones have now come into play. The boy is now stronger muscles and more body mass and all these basic things that now, you know, used to be science, but now I guess it's hate speech. But for little kids, that's a non thing. But now they're trying to make it a thing. And again, this is another example of how they're sexualizing children. They're trying to introduce these concepts to kids and reinforce it. It's reinforcing it on these kids and telling them this is who you are. And these parents, they get in on it. They'll sit there and read, you know, because they get virtue signaling points. I have a 7-year-old and he's trans. He, she, they, them, virtue signaling. And they reinforce this message. And then the kid is going to believe the authority figures in their lives, which are going to be the adults, namely their parents or probably parent, and they're going to say, oh, well, yeah, this must be who I am. And it gets cemented into their identity at a very, very young age. One always has to remember that for children, they're like, if you got a computer with no programming on it, and as you raise your children, you're putting things into the program, you're programming who they're going to be. And just like with a computer, if you get malicious code in there, it's going to cause problems the whole time you've got the computer, because you're writing on that blank slate of who they are. And you take a little kid and you just start putting this bad programming into them. Then when they become adults and their lives are all screwed up and they're all wrecked, and people will be like, well, I wonder why they're that way. Well, go back and look and see what kind of programming the adults in their lives, namely their parents, have put on there. And you're going to find, and now this is a nationwide, a society wide phenomenon. They're promoting this stuff. They're pushing this stuff and reinforcing this stuff onto children. They're ruining countless lives over this, all while virtue signaling about how they support diversity, how inclusive and tolerant they are. They are destroying people's lives. It's utterly evil. It's utterly satanic. It's utterly disgusting.
It's setting them up on a pathway that leads to mutilation, basically. I mean, so much of our adult lives is based on things that we came across when we were children. A lot of the time, we may not even be able to trace things all the way back, but it does. It goes back to what you saw in your early life, and it could just be a chance seeing of this breakfast cereal that could start a question in a child's mind. And before you know it, they've been put on hormone blockers, and they get to the age of 18 and they end up mutilating themselves, and then they're suicidal at what they've done. And it's all been because they had this stuff promoted to them when they were a child, as if it was exciting and lively and colorful and rainbows, and you'll be made to feel very special if you add your own pronouns on the box. It really is insidious. General manager of Kellogg US cereal category, Doug Van de Velde, described the cereal as berry flavored rainbow hearts dusted with edible glitter in a statement announcing the company's latest collaboration with Glad. And I don't know, it just makes me think of Gary Glitter there. Perhaps they'd want to put a cutout and keep Gary Glitter doll alongside with the box. The campaign also includes the tagline, "Boxes are for cereal, not for people," which the company describes as the embodiment and celebration of Kellogg Company's commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, not just within Kellogg's company, but also at the tables of our cereal fans, coast to coast. And there we have it. We have this equity that has been put in there. They're no longer interested in equality. It is all about equity, which means taking from those who have worked to achieve something and giving it to those who have not worked to achieve something. It's about lowering everything to the lowest common denominator. And I don't get this. Boxes are for cereal, not for people. Are they saying don't put me in a box? Don't put me in this preconceived idea, this preconceived opinion that you have of people? But that's what they're doing here. They're trying to tell children that they should put themselves in a box. They should limit themselves to being whatever gender it is that they have decided they want to be, that they actually put on this box here, rather than actually letting people develop as how they develop naturally. They're trying to influence them here. They're trying to tell them that you should be developing in this way. This is the exciting way. If you want to be inclusive and you want to be an excitable child and you want to be the center of attention, then you want to be changing your pronouns, and you want to be associating with rainbows and unicorns and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's you can imagine that the children are going to be affected by this, and they're going to want to be the center of attention. And if parents don't watch out, you know, this is the sort of thing that they could accidentally just bring into the home without thinking about it. I wonder how many mothers will actually buy this breakfast cereal without thinking, and they'll just see the bright colors on it, and they'll see that it's edible glitter and what have you, and they'll just put it in the shopping trolley. And some poor unsuspecting child is going to be affected by this. What do you make of what Doug Van de Velde has to say here and their tagline, "Boxes are for cereal, not for people, Grandpa"?
Well, my comment in this is going to be very short, but I'm going to go ahead and lay out the takeaway comment for the show. In fact, you're probably going to want to, the listeners are probably going to want to pause and reflect on it when I say what I'm fixing to say. If you close your eyes for a minute and you visualize, you know, the notion of Chester the Molester, you know, this personage of a pedophile that lurks around and maybe abducts a child off the street, you know, and molests them. You have this vision in your head of what people like that look like. Well, when you think of Chester the Molester, you think of, you know, a pedophile. What they always disguise themselves, you know, they have an ice cream truck and it's like, hey, kids, they play the happy music. Hey, kids, do you want some free ice cream? Come over here and get some free ice cream. Maybe, you know, I've got the ice cream truck and it's playing this happy music, and they lure the child to the ice cream truck. Chester the Molester lures the child to the ice cream truck so that they can molest the children. How is this any different? We're talking about glitter, edible glitters, heart flakes. It's no different. This is like the corporate version of Chester the Molester's ice cream van to lure the children in so that they can be molested. It's just, this is my takeaway quote from this. This is the one thing you should take away. This is no different than a pedophile driving down the street playing the ice cream music to lure the kids in at the promise of sweets, at the promise of something good, only to victimize them. This is the corporate version of that.
That's a really good analysis there. I mean, when you think of a pedophile, you do think of them offering out sweets to children, and that's what we have here. We have sweet cereal that's being offered out to children, and then on the side of it, it's telling them, "Do you want to change your pronouns?" And it's sowing the seeds of the child then turning into a homosexual, and all the problems that come with that, the likelihood of suicide, the likelihood of disease, the not being able to settle down and be monogamous, not being able to produce their own children, the disappointment to the grandparents, saying all these negative things that there are with homosexualism that just doesn't get talked about today. And it's all being encouraged with this sweet cereal that children are going to be encouraged to eat. I think that's a brilliant analysis there, Grandpa. And yeah, you know, people need to take that away with them. I had never heard of Chester the Molester before. That must be an American version of this. Well, the company's Vice President of Talent and Diversity, Priscilla Caranting, added that Together with Pride is Kellogg's latest effort aligned with our purpose to create better days and a place at the table for everyone. And I looked up this President of Talent and Diversity to see what she does, and basically she just encourages diversity. She gets paid lots and lots of money to encourage diversity, and when she's asked, you know, what is so great about it, she just says, well, diversity is our greatest strength, and we need to get everybody to understand that diversity is our greatest strength, and we need to be promoting our products to a diverse audience. So, and how many homosexuals are there out there amongst the consumers? Were apparently about 2%. So why are they targeting this at the 2%? They're not targeting it at the 2%. They're targeting it at the 98% in the hopes of enlarging that 2%, basically, because they know that if they can subvert society, if they can weaken society, then there is less chance of people getting together and changing society for the better. Kellogg's is also urging fans to get involved in its hashtag Boxes Are For Cereal Challenge promotion on TikTok, which involves customers uploading their receipts to the social media platforms so that Kellogg can donate $3 up to $140,000 to support GLAAD's efforts in accelerating acceptance and advancing equality for the LGBTQ+ community. And again, this is, you know, it's very deceptive, the wording that they use. We all want equality, but everybody is equal anyway. There was no way that homosexuals are treated differently to anybody else. They're all under the same laws as the rest of us. They're not trying to advance equality here. What they're trying to do is advance the promotion of homosexuality everywhere. They're trying to insert it into everything, not just on the television, not just in the music, but now also in what you eat. What do you make of this Priscilla Caranting and the Boxes Are For Cereal Challenge, Grandpa?
Can they tell us what the plus stands for? Now we're up to LGBTQ plus. I saw a few. There's been a few times they actually had the nerve to throw the P in there, but that kind of got hushed up really quick. I guess they did some marketing research and decided that plus works better because people won't think too much, you know, won't put too much thought into it. But really, what does the plus stand for? What is left? What is left for there to be except for the P? You brought up a point that this is targeted to the 98%, and you're absolutely right on that, Sven. And here's one of the things of why they're targeting that 98%. It's not about inclusiveness. It's not about, you know, all these flowery words they're putting around this. It's about so that the 98% will allow them access to their children. Let that sink in for a minute. This is about this inclusion, all of this talk. It's social conditioning people so that that 98% will be more comfortable allowing these people to have access to their children. You know, somebody can sit here and say, you guys are sitting here reading something way too sinister into a serial campaign. But I'm telling you, we're not. I'm telling you, this is about conditioning people. Oh, well, you know, like when that instinct kicks in and you're like, maybe I really shouldn't let my little boy go off with this known homosexual by themselves. That, you know, that instinct kicks in, says, hey, you shouldn't do that. You could be putting your child in danger. This conditioning is supposed to offset that. Oh, wait, I don't want to be a bad person. I don't want to be, non-inclusive. I don't want to be a bad thinker. You see, it's all of this equality and so on and so forth. This is about conditioning the 98%. So that 2% can have access to their children. And that's another thing that people really need to take away from this. This is another aspect of the social programming that's going on with things such as this.
Well, it's the sort of thing where they had homosexual scout leaders now in America, don't they? And of course, there's been all these lawsuits against these homosexual scout leaders for allowing these children to be molested. I'm not saying every homosexual scout leader is a molester, but there has been a massive increase in lawsuits against the scouts because of this. And as well as the trying to improve this access to children for these homosexuals, I think there is also this weakening of society, this weakening of the bonds in society. The more they promote homosexualism, the less likely it is that men can get together and have brotherly friendships, because they're going to be fearful that they're going to be seen as a homosexual, or they're going to be fearful that somebody that is being friendly towards them, that they're being homosexual as well. So it weakens the male bonds in society. It weakens the bonds of the family in society, and the family is the smallest unit of the nation. So it serves two purposes. It weakens the nation, it weakens resistance, and it also increases the access that the homosexuals that are pedophile minded have to children. Well, Kellogg say that in addition to the hashtag boxes R4 serial challenge, being proud of who you are is not confined to just 1 month. And for the first time, Kellogg has created Together with Pride animated stickers on Instagram and Facebook, letting fans add a little pride to their posts all year long. So it's gone from gay pride being a carnival on one day in the gay city of a country to being gay pride in every city of the country for one day, to gay pride being a week long, to gay pride being advertised all over the corporate world. And now, according to Kellogg's, you can have gay pride all year long. And they've created these special animated stickers. And of course, you're not allowed to have heterosexual pride. You're not allowed to have white pride. You are only allowed to be proud of homosexual acts. I mean, we really are living in a topsy-turvy clown world where good is now evil and up is now down and black is now white. Everything is topsy-turvy here. Kellogg's also joined forces with GLAAD in 2019 for an anti-bullying campaign featuring a new all-together cereal. And this is another way that they do this. They claim that it's all anti-bullying. But what about the bullying of the white kids? What about the discrimination that is against whites? Of course people are against bullying. But that's not actually what they're doing here. What they're trying to do, again, is promote homosexuality, and particularly to children. They use this anti-bullying scam in order to pull it off. I can't recall anybody being bullied for being homosexual when I was at school. There was a couple of lads that I got told after I'd actually gone to school that they were homosexual, but none of them were bullied. I mean, I don't think you get bullied for things like that at school, but they're not interested in any other type of bullying. They're just interested in elevating homosexuals to a different class to everybody else, where they can claim to be homosexual and they will then get special treatment. What do you make of their promotion of gay pride here, Grandpa?
Well, it's interesting that it's so necessary for them to dress them up, dress this nonsense up into these glittery terms that have nothing to do with what is actually being discussed. I mean, people sit around and talk about love is love and pride and all of this rainbows and hearts and all of this glittery stuff. But when you use terms like, oh, I don't know, man-on-man anal fisting, oh, they recoil in horror. You watch people that are just normie people that are like virtue signal this crap on social media, if there's anybody left on social media that's allowed to have, you know, any kind of opinion that counters the narrative. And you know, all these people, and they'll be, oh, usually women, by the way, you know, virtue signaling about, oh, yes, yes, I support all of this. Oh, I support all of this pride. And then you throw out there, yes, there's nothing more prideful and great and equality than men on man anal fisting, rubbing your whole arm up some guy's ass. And these people, these same virtue signals, will recoil in horror and disgust. They can't help it. You know, they want to dress this stuff up in these glittery, you know, just, oh, so harmless terms. I want to circle back something here just really quick, though, because again, and I want to hammer this point home, that when you're bringing these things, are all sexual in nature. And when you bring these things to children, they're going to have questions about, well, what are we supposed, what is this all about? So you're going to, by its very nature, you're going to be describing sexual things to children that have no business even thinking about this. They're supposed to just be kids doing kid stuff, you know, enjoying their innocence. It's about robbing that innocence away from them. Now, if you're explaining these things as an adult to a kid because you think you need to be doing this, how much of a step is it for the wrong person at the wrong time to take that the next step further and demonstrate to these children what this is about? I'm not trying to be intentionally provocative here, and again, we're doing a story that should just be, oh, look, you know, if we were normal conservatives, we'd be pointing and laughing and going, oh, that's so stupid, oh, look at them, they're promoting, oh, these woke corporations. This is really, I look at a story like this and I don't really find much to laugh about, because I think it's very dark, and I think I can see where this is going. It's the same place it's been going for some time now, and it's a very, very dark place.
How can you explain a homosexual without actually going into the mechanics of the sexual act? I mean, the whole idea of a homosexual is defined by the sexual act, and yet you're teaching children this and trying to encourage parents to teach children this with breakfast cereals like this. Well, in 2016, Kellogg Company joined a smear campaign against Breitbart, pulling ads from the site. Breitbart's millions of monthly readers are not aligned with our values as a company, a Kellogg's spokesperson said. So Breitbart News launched a hashtag Dump Kellogg's petition in response and pushed a boycott of the company. And I believe that was quite successful as well. And Breitbart News later revealed that the non-profit organization WK Kellogg Foundation has donated nearly $1 million to anti-police group Black Lives Matter. And that was back then in 2016. I dare say they have donated quite a lot more to them since then. I don't think I will be eating Kellogg's cereal anymore in the future, and I'm glad to see that Breitbart did actually push back against this and started up this Dump Kellogg's petition. I think I shall be sticking with Weetabix in future. Are you going to also be giving up Kellogg's, Grandpa, do you think, after this?
I don't eat that crap anyway. I eat a real man's breakfast, usually consisting of bacon, eggs, hash browns, things such as that. But Yeah, no, I'm wondering how much longer normie conservatives are going to be able to hold on to this, but my private corporations, the, you know, my private companies, they can do this sort of thing. How long are they going to be able to hold on to this attitude that it's all A-OK, everything is wide open, everything's great, as long as it's a corporation pushing it instead of the government? At some point in time, they're going to have to let go of, you know, they're going to have to let go of that position and say, well, something that's destructive on a society is destructive on a society, regardless of the face that's pushing that agenda. And obviously, this, you know, I mean, how much worse does it have to get? How much worse and in your face does this very dark agenda have to get before conservatives are going to quit running around and defending, you know, my corporations because not the government?
Well, at least it's not available in Russia. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.